I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who's finding victory over internet pornography, and my name is Jim.
Amen.
All right. Hey, Emily. All right, let's begin in prayer. Oh, loving God, we thank you for today. We ask for you to pour forth your Holy Spirit upon us, to quiet our minds and quiet our hearts, to receive the message that you have for us today, a message of hope and a message of healing and wholeness. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so tonight we're going to focus on crossroads as the lesson, and we'll start with Principle 7. So join me in reading this. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. And then step 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And our scripture for this is, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. All right, so getting to this point, so this is, as we just mentioned, it's step 10 of the 12. So if you're relatively new, we do teachings every other week. 2 weeks ago, Ron taught on grace. If you don't remember Ron, that's Ron over there helping out with Solid Rock for later. So 2 weeks ago was on grace, and another 2 weeks we'll have another lesson. In between, we have testimonies. Last week, Amy gave an amazingly brave testimony, a very painful testimony, but a real witness to the incredible healing that God can do in somebody's life. So if you've not experienced that, come back next week. You'll have a chance to see another testimony. So first, to get to this point, if we kind of review the steps, we had to first get beyond denial. I don't have a problem. It's these outside forces that are causing me to drink, to look at pornography, to be self-critical, to be critical of others, right? There's different things that activated our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And we had to get over that denial and admit we were powerless. The second was to surrender our life to Jesus Christ, knowing that we've tried it. I know I had tried for years. I'll just get tougher. I'll just try harder. And no, actually, give up and hand it over to Christ, right? Then took an honest look at my life. How did I get here? What were the things that got me here? How did I dig the hole so deep, right? Then listing, confessing, and sharing your wrongdoings. So making a list of the good and the bad, and then sharing that with a sponsor and unburdening ourselves from that. Then later, became humble enough to allow God to make major changes within our own lives, became willing to forgive and to make amends, and then offer your forgiveness to those who have hurt you. It's often a difficult step. Forgiveness and pretending it didn't happen are two different things. You don't, if somebody has been abusive to you, you don't go back into that. But you can let go of the resentment and the anger that you're feeling because it's just binding you up. But again, it's not forgetting and forgetting per se. You still need to take care of yourself. And then making amends for all the harm that you've caused to others with the caveat except to do so would harm them or somebody else. If you're at that stage of your journey, you definitely want to be working with a sponsor on how you'd go about doing that. So that's quite a journey just to get to step 10, where we're going to be talking tonight. First, crossroads is not our acrostic, so just be glad we're not going through all those letters. I'll get to what the acrostic is. It's much shorter than that. But what got us here was really based on our decision that we made in Principle 3, which is to turn our lives and wills over to God. Jesus explains in Principle 3 this way with John chapter 8, verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then in John 14, verse 6, he defines truth as saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We've been set free from our addictions and our obsessive and compulsive behaviors because of the truth that we asked into our hearts, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus only comes in at your invitation. So he doesn't do a hostile takeover. It's, I'm finally ready for you to come in and work healing within me. And that's where we rebuild our foundation. So both Principle 7 and the 8 Principles and Step 10 are a crossroads for your recovery. We haven't graduated, and we can't coast. We need to continue to work the remaining 3 steps of the program. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." That's overconfidence. Sometimes that's arrogance, right? I got it all together now. Okay, I'm ready to do it on my own again. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be right back to step one again. So that's a key scripture to hang on to. Now, most recovery material refers to step 10 through 12 as the maintenance steps. I'm not a fan of the term maintenance, and I'll tell you why for a couple of reasons. When I think of maintenance on a car, doesn't mean it's getting any better. You're just hoping it stays together. And I think of maintenance and weight loss. Well, I got here, now I'm going to try to maintain it. And then I start bringing a few things back in and a few things back in, and now I'm no longer in maintenance. I'm kind of back, 2 steps back, right? So I like to understand it as a new way of life. This is my new lifestyle. It's not that I'm going to maintain something within an old framework, but I'm taking on a new life in Christ that will give us life. And with that, then we can thrive in steps 10 through 12. Okay. So step 10, as we begin to work step 10, we'll see that it's made up of 3 key parts. The what, we continue to take personal inventory. The why, and when we were wrong. And the then what, which is promptly admitted it. So that gets us into our acrostic, which tonight's word is 10, T-E-N. So the T stands for take time to do a daily inventory. The E is evaluate the good and the bad. And the N is need to admit wrongs promptly. So we'll go into depth in each one of those. So if somehow you missed filling those in, we'll have another chance at it. So the T, which is the what, take time. So the T is take. Take time to do daily inventory. So to inventory something is to count it, right? If I work in a hardware store, I'm going to count how many of a certain size bolts are in this bin and how many nuts are in this bin. And businesses do that all the time because some of those bolts walk away. So if your computer says you've got 100 and you've only got 90, you got a problem. You got to reconcile it. And so that is what inventory is. It's to take a look and reserve it. So if I look at Principle 7, which reminds us to reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer, it gives us quiet time to count the good and the bad that we've done during a particular period of time. So Lamentations 3:40 says, "To examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." So the kind of questions we should be asking ourselves is, what good did I do today? What are some good things? You know, I was patient. I let a driver in who was a jerk, but I wasn't, right? So there was a good deed there. In what areas did I blow it today? I was sarcastic with somebody who had an honest question. Did I do or say anything that hurt anyone today? Do I owe anyone amends? And what did I learn from my actions today? This is something to do daily, as we talk about in this step. Did I act out of fear or selfishness? And conversely, did I show kindness? Just as we did in Principle 4, with our larger inventory, our daily inventories need to be balanced. We need to look for and acknowledge when we've done something good. Too often, it's easy to be self-critical. I can tell you all the things I did right today. Now let me think about what I did wrong. Those stand out because they're kind of painful, especially if it hurt somebody and they told us, or they cried, or I thought about it later. I'm like, oh man, that was really harsh. But there's also good things we do. So I remember even in my larger inventory, going back to my childhood I remember getting in trouble for a lot of things, but there were times I did some really good things. I would go and keep some retired couples down the street company. They didn't have grandkids. I became their adoptive grandkid. I didn't know it, but I showed up to help them bake cookies, and we made candles, and we did projects together, and I thoroughly loved it, right? But that was just me being a kid, but it also brought joy into somebody else's life. On a more current time period, it might be me reflecting to somebody at work, hey, I saw you do this and I really appreciated it because I know that was hard work. I know that was painful. I know it took time out of your schedule, of which you had a lot of other things to do. That's another one of those ways in which we can do good and actually help reflect goodness to others. So the E in our acrostic answers the why question. Evaluate the good and the bad. This step does not say if I'm wrong, but when I'm wrong. Getting here is key to the journey to wellness. When we're kind of blind to if we've caused harm, then we're not honest with ourselves. 1 John chapter 1, 8 to 10 says, if we say we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. If we claim we have not sinned, we are lying and calling God a liar, for he says we have sinned. In John 3:21, Jesus tells us, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Step 10 brings us on a daily basis into the light. Once we see the light, now we have a choice. We can ignore it or we can act on it. If we act, we are living the last part of step 10 and we're now ready to answer the then what question, which is the N in our acrostic, which is when we need to admit the wrongs promptly. Getting to the point of admitting and promptly and not delaying. This gives us time to foster if we do delay, it can fester with the person that we've harmed. It can also kind of stir up inside of us. So that's why the promptly is important. As soon as I realize that I blew it, I need to promptly admit it. Matthew 5:23-24, Jesus tells us, this is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and are about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. Abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God. So, and then the question is, well, how do I do this? Well, definitely work with your sponsor and they can help you with amends. Hopefully in the previous step with your large inventory, you've already had a chance to do that. But here's one possible framework, and especially in relationships where you have somebody that you're close to and you want to do an amends and create a repair, is first, admit what you did. Hey, this is what I did. This is what I said. This is what I did to you. This is how I spoke to you. This isn't, you know, kind of a CR step-by-step. This is just my experience through some counseling. Then possibly offer some empathy. Like, I imagine that made you feel. And give them a chance to give you feedback on that, right? Because often I'll be like, I imagine that kind of hurt your feelings. Well, no, it actually crushed me, and here's why. Okay, now I actually allow the impact of that to settle in on me. and then to apologize. I'm sorry for what I did. Here's another important step that you can add in there, and then ask your accountability partners to hold you to that. And here's what I'm going to do about it to try to prevent doing this again. So if I'm sarcastic, okay, I'm going to try to monitor my mouth a little bit more and try to understand where is that coming from. Do I have a fear? Do I have a resentment that is coming out sideways in sarcasm? Okay, so this is what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to count to 5 or I'm going to count to 10. I'm going to ask you to call me on it the moment I do it, right? There's different things you can do, but this is what I'm going to do about it. And then the last thing is asking the person, is there anything else that I could do that would help complete the healing here, that would help this repair? Because I realize I'm the one that caused it. So one way to easily keep track of your good and your bad behavior is to keep a journal. Journaling is really good because it slows you down, gets things outside of yourself. I know for myself, I usually do it at the end of the day. And so it's just a good reflection to start from when I woke up to when I went to bed on what are the things good and bad. And it helps me kind of process, and it helps me get beyond denial, because then I'm actually, there's nobody to check what I'm writing. It's just me and God, right? So I can be really transparent and honest about it. And so start with writing down something that you're thankful from your experiences from the day. That gets you started writing. And then look for negative patterns, issues that you're continually writing down and having to promptly make amends for again and again. Share them with your sponsor and with your accountability partners. In my men's small group, we do that with each other. And so we give each other permission to check up. This is what I'm going to be working on this week, or this is for the coming weeks. And if you got my prayer card, text me about it. That'll remind me as I'm going through my week. If there's, I'm going to a situation where I know some of these things might trigger poor behavior on my part, I'm going to ask for prayer from whoever my prayer partner is or other guys in the group. And then the next week they'll say, how did it go, right? So there's where that accountability comes in. And the same is true for your sponsor. Our goal here is to allow God in, for us to be working these on a continual basis. Because what happens is, it's just like any kind of exercise. If I am just sitting in a chair all day long at work, and I go home, sit and watch TV, and I do that for weeks on end, and then I decide on Saturday I'm going to run 10 miles, then I'm going to do a bunch of lunges, then I think I'll hit the gym and do a little upper body work, the very next day I'm going to have trouble getting out of bed. And I'm going to feel so bad. And I'm going to be like, I'm not doing that again. And then I'm like, huh, why doesn't exercise work for me? Well, it's because that's not how you do it. You don't save everything up. You don't wait a year and say, how'd this last year go? That's why we encourage daily here is to stop every day and pause. It's fresher in your mind. You will remember if you don't. Like if I'm journaling, I'm like, oh yeah, I wasn't going to do that. I'm going to ask for help. Who do I know that I'm going to see first thing in the morning? Okay, I'm going to ask them for their help so that at the end of tomorrow, I have a different answer than what I gave today. So it's that repetition that actually interrupts those patterns and interrupts the things that cause hurts that require amends. So in summary, in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about more in detail on the how-to for step 10 so that we are get to a point where we're not continually having to make amends. And I believe, Daniel, you're the one teaching in 2 weeks. Yeah. Then well, none of us will be here, hope. You know, so that's the hope. So again, just as a recap, Crossroads, this is not a time to coast. This is a time to lean into the steps 10, 11, and 12, principles 7 and 8, and to do that inventory and continually work it. You'll see in the later steps we'll be giving back, and in doing so, whether you're a sponsor or a small group leader or a ministry leader, it helps you to continue to check in on yourself and to grow and to have accountability going in both directions. So with that, thank you very much.